Rock to the person.
Rock to the call. Please say your name and location.
Yes, this is Kirk in Vermont.
Hi, Kirk. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Vermont. Ooh, must be cold up there.
Yes, it is.
I thought I was muted.
Thank you, Willow.
Thank you, Willow. Willow, I haven't listened to the call yet because I wanted to make sure I got some good comments.
And more people.
This is Ron in Mountain Grove.
They call. Please say your name and location.
Cynthia.
Oh, hi.
Tucson.
Hi, Cynthia. Welcome to the call.
Hello.
Is that Cynthia Izzo?
No, Cynthia Rodick, Tucson, Arizona.
Cynthia, you've been on the call before, yes?
Once before.
Terry and I were in Tucson 2 weeks ago.
Oh. No, I didn't go to any meeting. I've just been mostly on the phone.
Well, we didn't do a meeting.
That's two new people tonight.
I'm not new. I'm a regular.
I'm new.
Taylor's new.
That was Ron, Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Hey, Ron, how are you doing?
Pretty good, and you?
Oh. Hi, I'm doing good, man.
Are we on BBS yet?
No BBS, no.
No BBS, so you might go over tonight.
I'll be sure tonight.
Are you assisting tonight, Hyde?
It's simply good to be here now. So, welcome the next person. This is the Wednesday call.
Phil in New Orleans.
Phil, good evening.
Good evening.
And more people joining. Welcome to the same location.
Good morning. Hi. This is Ray from Las Vegas.
Hi, Ray from Las Vegas. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Here. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Kent from Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, this is CBS Radio.
Oh,
yeah, no, I am logged in, guys.
Fantastic.
Okay, I've been logged in electronically from Skype, so no worries. It's better than trying to go VoIP to Skype, okay? But we're in. All is good. You sound good.
Yeehaw.
And now, on with the show.
And we all sound like we're in the Alps.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. And you know what? I believe BBS dropped out again. Yes.
Are you listening? Are you listening on BBS now?
No, I was checking on. They called in, not as a moderator, but now they dropped out again. The phone dropped out.
So take back our applause.
Hi. All right, welcome to the next caller. This is the Wednesday call. Your name and location.
Good evening.
Yeah, this is BBS. Now, again, I did tell you I'm logged in. It's better than the VoIP phone, which I'm on now. So I'm going to hang this up again so we don't get a double fee. I'm hanging this one up now. But I do love hearing myself. I do. It's a little twisted, I know, but hey.
Well, John, maybe you should moderate tonight.
Now he's muted. Okay.
All right, good.
All right. So we're on BBS. Good evening. Welcome to the call, BBS. We have a bunch of people over here. I want to ask one more time to those who came in. Please say your name and location.
This is Cynthia in Peoria, Arizona. Hi, everyone.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Is Terry on?
I believe her to be here, yes.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Did you found your own mute button? All right. I think we can start. Shall we start?
I'm going to press the recording, okay?
Yeah, let me mute everybody, and...
I'll do the start, all right?
Yes. You did.
Sorry. And...
Okay. Let me start the recorder?
Yes, start the recording. Yes, yes, we're never ready, but go ahead and start it.
Here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
Everybody, hello, hello, hello. This is November 14th. We're barreling down on December 21st. And this is Win Free in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And Terry in Sedona, Arizona. God, I'm forgetting now. It's been so long. And this is our call where people submit questions and we ask them. And many of you have been asking about my sister, and I thought I'd share a little bit just to get started. This has been really interesting being here. You know, my sister had this little miracle a while back ago, which is probably the thing that set me off to keep exploring this and figuring out what it's all about when her lupus disappeared. But even though her lupus disappeared, she still had a lot of problems, and things did not get better. She has, like, all these autoimmune disorders. She has extreme osteoporosis, where her bones are very, very sensitive. And every time she goes into the hospital, usually something happens to make it worse, like her bones break, her ribs, they break her ribs, not intentionally. But her husband, Larry, kind of has found that he has to stay in the hospital room, just to give you an idea of the kind of things that happen, to guard her, to make sure they don't screw her up, because they come in and they don't know how sensitive she is. And so she went to the hospital a couple of weeks ago, and they actually called security on Larry because they looked at like he was obstructing their work. But in fact, they took him out of the room, and they had to move her, and they proceeded to break her hip. And so she's not in good shape. She's in a lot of pain, and she's kind of fairly unconscious. Actually, I say she's in a lot of pain, but she was in a lot of pain. And now she's kind of like spaced out of it. And you know, she can't move. Her body is like a paraplegic. And when I come into the room, it's like she can't talk. She has tubes in her mouth. She's in ICU, and it doesn't look like it's recoverable from. And the doctors don't know what to do. They're keeping her alive, and her husband wants to keep her alive, but they can't fix her. And, you know, this will probably make me cry. That's all right. I'll go through it. Larry is kind of both, you know, kind of like never had an idea that there was anything spiritual going on most of his life, I would say. And he's a very nice guy. And, you know, my sister had that healing, and he was aware of it. And he's been trying to integrate it, and he's coming in on our calls. Some of you have heard him say hello. And today, he came up to me. And, you know, there's this idea that these guys can talk to you. And most of you don't understand how it feels when they do. They started talking to me when... in 2002, and they were giving me dream messages. And if you read the book, you read the story of the dream messages and how they were coming through, and it feels as if you're making it up. it doesn't feel like, hi, this is the Elohim, and we have a message for you. It feels like it's your imagination. And I would wake up in the middle of the night and write these messages, these things in my mind that seemed like I was daydreaming. And in the morning, I would find this amazing wisdom every night, kind of like never telling me what to do, but guiding me in my own process. And I remember a couple of them in those early periods. One of them was, it's the insanity of passion that makes things happen in the real world, which, wow, here I am trying to figure out, I said, this is important, how do I make this happen? And they told me. Now, it was easier said than done, because how do you make yourself be passionate? It has to come as a spontaneous feeling. But over time, I can see that I incorporated that, and I had the ability to be passionate publicly, which was not easy at first, because, hey, all these people are listening to me. What are they going to think? And then another one they said was, through your dedication to love, serve, and care, the negativity goes away. Well, at that point, I didn't feel extremely positive in myself. I was struggling. I was with Daphne. She was struggling. Things were difficult. And every day was like an exercise in getting through the day, which I'm sure many of you have had that experience, and some of you might be in it right now. And so they gave me a clue. They said, through your dedication to love, serve, and care, the negativity will go away. So it took me a long time, maybe not a long time as far as the universe is concerned, but a long time in terms of the way time moves in this level, to be able to clear myself enough so that I could be effective in doing this, and I could be centered in doing it, and I could be confident in doing it, because none of that came naturally. It came through a lot of me pushing myself, believing that it was important, but not believing that I could do it, that I had the inner tools to do it. And so, you know, I see that I have done it. I mean, it's not that I'm not finished. I'm never finished, unfortunately. Another one was, you finally found the job you won't get tired of, which I thought was a good one. And I think I also found a job that I can't retire from either. So today, Larry had said to me that he had this voice talking to him. He heard this voice in his head. And the way he described it, it sounded exactly like the way I was getting messages. And I'm going to get teary on this one. His message was very, very poignant. They said, you know, in your marriage vows, they say, until death do you part. But in this case, that's not true. That death is not going to be a separation between you and my sister, he and his wife. And he got it. And I just wanted to share that with you. I mean, it's been really interesting being there. I have my cousin Richard visiting. He lives in Florida. And Richard and I were really close when I was a kid. And in fact, we were both ham radio operators together. And in fact, I became a ham radio operator, and then he did after me. And then I became a commercial licensed person, and then he did. And then he got a job, and for most of his life, he was working as a radio operator on ships, going out, traveling the world. And I guess I was long gone. I was playing music and hitchhiking around the country. And we probably hadn't seen each other for 30 years. And he was visiting my sister. And of course, I was talking a little bit about my experience. And he was trying to integrate it because he was so, I forget, logically brained. I think that's right brain, but I mix them up. And he said, well, everybody has something they believe in. And I said, Richard, this is different. And then we had dinner tonight, and he got a little bit open, but it is so hard when you're in this realm and you're watching the news, going to universities, to not get programmed. And no matter what comes in, no matter how much evidence there is, it's transparent. It's like it goes right through you. You don't hear it. And it's really hard, as some of you know, when you've talked about this to other people. And, you know, on the Monday call with Carla Rucker, there was the thing that was, and which I thought was incredibly, incredibly interesting, that knowing about this doesn't help you graduate. It's not the knowledge that helps you graduate. And some people think the knowledge is going to cause them to graduate. And the knowledge, hopefully, is the impetus to realize, what do I have to do to get my heart open? What do I have to do to keep my energies open? The knowledge in of itself doesn't do it. And I thought that was quite profound. I think I knew that on some level, but it was just so clear in the raw material. And if you haven't listened to the last 2 weeks of calls, they're quite different, because on our Monday calls, Carla was on, and we mostly went through little excerpts from the raw material and discussed them. Because if you've ever tried to read the raw material, you will know that it is really hard to understand. It is really deep. And I mean, I think on Monday, we got through about 40 words, and we spent the rest of the call on those 40 words, because I could tell when I read it that people weren't understanding it. I could feel it. And it is understandable, but it kind of, between Carla and I, we brought it into translations, and it's quite extraordinary to have us both doing that, because I think that we both, and she respects me in this at this point, that I have a really good comprehension of that, and so does she. And I don't think she runs into that many people that have that depth of comprehension of the material. And of course, again, it's how do you turn that into a change in your reality system? You know, when you guys are asking questions, oftentimes you ask questions that you're curious about. And I think it's very okay that we ask those questions, and that it intrigues you with the answer. It makes you think. And it also gives credence that maybe we are talking to who they say they are, and gives you reason to study the material, because there's so much depth in it. And some of you, many of you are discovering, we put up, we have all these archives. We have hundreds and hundreds of things in our archives. Everything from, actually, this is not up. It'll be up sooner or later. But everything from my original conversations in 2002, when I was first discovering this, up to last week's conference calls. And Bogdan in Sweden, who has been helping send emails out, took it upon himself to start organizing everything in a way that was easy to navigate. And we have that site up, and I see it's getting more interest and more repetition, more visits than anything we've ever put up. And if you haven't checked it out, it's thespiritchannel.net. Thespiritchannel.net. And we will be adding to it. As next, every time we add, we'll make a notice that we've added stuff. We really don't have the 2002, 2003, 2004. You know, probably starts around 2007, 2008. We have loads of things before them, and I'd like to go look through them to see what's relevant so that you can all benefit. And here's another interesting thing. I think one Monday, Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
If Terry gives permission, you know, we're going through the raw material, and Carla and I are giving our feedback on it. And one Monday, I think Carla and I, if Carla agrees, we'll go through a few things out of St. Catherine's dialogues, St. Catherine of Siena, who there's a lot of indication that was a past life of Terry. And Carla and I will then comment on what they mean by that. And I will say St. Catherine's easier than the raw material. But nonetheless, it's still extremely, extremely deep. And if you ever look up St. Catherine and read the story, you find this young woman who would go hang out at the local Catholic church, and she would start talking, and they would write down what she said. And part of her was explaining how to have a deeper connection with God. And part of her messages were trying to fix the corruption in the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church had gotten corrupted, just like everything does in this realm. And once there's jobs and money and followers, it's so easy to lose sight of the original energy, the original intention. And so I was reading something about St. Catherine, and those of you who have listened to Terry, do you mind if I read this, Terry? You can handle it, right?
No, go ahead.
they were talking, the person who was translating St. Catherine into the English in this book was describing the way she gave her messages. And I said, my God, that sounds just like Terry, okay? And I thought I'd read this. The task of translating Catherine is not an easy one. In the torrent of her thought, she frequently loses sight of her pronominal antecedents. Terry, do you know what pronominal antecedents are?
Isn't it pronominal? Pronoun? Who they're talking about.
Yeah, she would lose sight of what she was talking about. Her tense sequence would screw up, and even sometimes of the fact that she has left in midair the sentence with which she began while getting lost in a whole series of parentheses. And so the person is saying, in this realm, I have taken the liberty of choosing the most comfortable pronominal reference or tense and staying with it. The choice is in a limited sense a happy necessity, for it makes it possible, at least in the case of pronouns and impersonal references, to avoid the thorny problem of sexist language. Now, I'm not sure what they mean by sexist language. But there were ways in which Catherine was, in tune with her age, glaringly sexist in her attitudes. And though I have translated her viral mentee, see, the guy uses big words, as courageously, for her the word definitely carried overtones of manliness as such. Structurally, I tried to steer the theoretically sound but practically difficult course of translating Catherine's style with equivalent English style. Well, in any case, Catherine's style is not only repetitious, but often grossly redundant. Since her repetition is seldom without some new layer of meaning, I have to that intent left intact all but the clear redundancies which I have deleted in translations. Catherine's repetitions are, however, heavily framed in elements such as has been said, or as I have told you, and the like, where these serve only to clutter her flow of thought rather than support it. I have omitted them. Well, I will say that Terry has gotten incredibly, incredibly better since the very first time we started having messages. And that description of St. Catherine's style was, I mean, Terry would repeat things and repeat things, wait a moment. And I was afraid to ever, at the time, ever do anything publicly with Terry, because I said, people are going to think she's making it up with all these wait a moments. She's trying to think of what to say next. And as I've learned, Terry very carefully filters what's coming through and makes sure that she's on the right track, that it's nothing negative leaking in, that she's not delivering anything. And a lot of times when she says, wait a moment, she's considering what's being said. And
yeah, because sometimes they come in and they say something that I wouldn't have thought would be true. And so then I wait a minute and I ask them again and I ask them again and I ask them again and see if they get the same answer. And sometimes, you know, then we go out and we look at the whole audience, at everybody in the audience, and see if it's something that maybe somebody in the audience might take personally when they shouldn't, you know. And so then there's more pauses while they're considering how to handle that. And so there's a lot that goes on that I don't talk about.
Yeah, it's very important, because even when you have things that are true, are mostly true, no matter how you phrase it, it's so easy to say it in such a way that somebody doesn't get it and it screws them up. and that it's such a responsibility to bring these things in and to keep it at the highest level, and that it doesn't fall into negative sources or whatever, sloppiness. And so I so appreciate how careful Terry is and how highly intended she is. Well, on that note, we are going to call in the light and ask questions, and thank you for letting me share all of that. I thought that the thing with Larry was so especially poignant, and I thank you all for all the emails you sent me on behalf of my sister, and I share it with her. And, you know, she can't talk. She's just laying in bed. And her face looks beatific. She doesn't look like she's suffering. In fact, I asked her, are you suffering? And she said, no. And previously she was. So I think a good portion of her is out of her body now. And so we're going to call in the light. And I know you're not ready, and neither am I, but we're going to go for it. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good
of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And I turn it over to our sources to give any words of introduction to this call.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We greet each and every person on the call within the sound of the voice. Each and every person who is listening or reading a transcript at a later time or is on the call either on the replay or on the original call. And we reach out. We are in the space and available for each and every person who wishes to be communicated with, who wishes to be touched. We don't come over the telephone line. We don't come over the airwaves. We just are there, non-linearly there, for those that wish us to be in contact with them. This brings us great joy. We see the things, the different interactions that one goes through. We will cover this later as people ask their questions and we answer the importance of the interactions and connections with others. It helps when the interactions are loving to bring a better outcome, but it is not the outcome that is the most important thing. The most important thing are the interactions between you and the other people involved in the transactions you are making and communications you are making with them. It is a tremendous growth process to have this opportunity as one lives in the third density to be able to connect with others and have the growth experience in how one deals with and works through issues within the framework of the things that come up in the third density. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. I wanted to make just a comment that some of you that are listening to this, sometime you might try checking into the call early over the phone, not on the internet, but on the phone, because oftentimes people get to say hello to each other, they get to know each other, and there's a camaraderie that happens that you don't experience when you're listening to the call coming in right at 6 or on the internet. You might try it because it might help you feel connected and add something to your life, because the connections with each other are so important, and it's one way of making connection. We have a question here from Miglina Elliott, who's in Varna, Bulgaria. Hi, Miglina. Thank you for submitting this. And this is a really good question. When I started to listen to the calls or read the archives, I would cry a lot while I was doing it. I feel tremendous inspiration and at the same time so much loss. Loss like I miss somebody deeply loved, somebody I can't live without. And I feel like I want right now to go to this loved one. Even now, I am starting to cry while I'm writing this letter, feeling so much loneliness. And I'm happily married. Everybody in my family is fine. I have no reason to feel this way. I also have, on the other side, some relatives passed away, but I wasn't close to them. Why do I experience these feelings and crying, and these feelings of sadness and loneliness and sorrow, that I am not with my loved one, whoever it is, I don't even know, comes only when I read or listen to the words of the Ra group or the Elohim group. Thank you, Liguina.
Thank you. We see you are very loved. We see that in your past you have had very close, loving relationships. And we see that some of this sadness is not yours totally. It is also some of the individuals who feel that they have lost you when they went to the other side. Even earlier lifetimes when you did not remember at this time who or what happened or who they are. And there is this great loving from them, from the other side. And you have not lost them. They have not lost you, except as you perceive that you have lost them. If you take a few minutes in your day and you send love to the quote one that you perceive that you have lost, just pretend that they are right there next to you. We see more than one being. And that you will, we give a minute here while for connection. We look to that being on the other side and we give a moment. They have had so much desire to have the connection back with you. Part of this is not yours. Part of it is theirs. And we give a moment to talk with this being. We see this being has been with you in more than one life and has more than had more than one physical body, and we see the different physical bodies that this being has had. And in this short time, we open ourselves to listen to what this person is saying. And this person's desire for connection, they have been center an intention on you, and they have not branched out to make other connections strongly, and we speak with that being of the open possibilities for finding other connection, for moving to a new arena where they are loved and they can connect and have given take and communication, and we hold this there for them. Although they have great resistance for finding anything but within your own sphere, which is what they greatly desire. We hope this is some light upon this.
You know, I don't think you addressed one part of her question. Where, why is it when she listens to our source materials, it stimulates this for her? Does that cause those other beings to have more openness to connect with her?
You open yourself to the great love from our realm and from the raw group, you become open and you, from your side of the equation, then have the connection with the love from the Ra group and from the Elohim group. Love then triggers the response between the connection of you, the being, as it is a similar give and take love, beautiful spiritual love, and then the sense of missing that love in your own environment day to day begins to come in. It is a feeling of being fulfilled, being loved, being connected, being whole, and then as you realize what it can be and of what the fulfillment can be and realize how much you have desired this love, how much more having this love adds another whole dimension to your life, then the other being feels it also and begins to feel the desire for that connection again.
Thank you. Question from Merrill in Seattle. This is a really good one. Is it possible for someone to take on part of someone else's health issues to make it easier for them? And then the second part of her question, how about an energy vampire type person? Can they send part of their condition to someone else to relieve their own burden?
Thank you it is very possible, and even at an unconscious level, a person, when they comment to the vicinity of a sick person, can begin to take on some of the aspects of that sickness, and as such, as they take it on, can begin to relieve it for the other person. There are instances where an individual is ill and someone with this, quote, gift, end quote, of taking on the sickness from another person can take on the illness to the point that the person who was practically at death's door can then recover enough suddenly to go home, and then the person who took it on is left with the job of dispensing or releasing the condition that they have taken on from themselves. We give you an example where one man was giving a lecture to a group of people in the audience. Someone raised their hand and said, "I have a really bad headache." The person giving the lecture reached out and took the headache, touched the man on the head, and took his headache into the speaker's arm. And the man said, "My headache's gone. My headache's totally gone. You must be using witchery or some bad practice." And so the speaker reached out again, touched the man on the head, and gave the headache back to the man, wherein he then had the headache again. So it is entirely possible to take on the condition of another. We give you one other example, and that is where one time Terry walked into a room and suddenly thought, "Oh, I'm getting a cold." And she said to herself, "Okay, I'm going to eliminate the cold," and began to disassemble those concepts, those feelings, those impetuses and energies of the cold, began to just disassemble them one at a time, and then was thinking, "Okay, I'm getting rid of this cold that I suddenly started to get." When a person in the room looked at Terry and said, "Wow, my cold's going away." When Terry realized that it was not Terry's cold, she was picking up the cold from the other person and was disassembling it.
Thank you. How about the second part of the question? Can someone who has a condition use black magic, and that's the way it was read, to send it to someone else to alleviate their own condition?
Yes, that is entirely possible. One can, using black magic, even create a condition and send it to another person, which then begins to experience the symptoms of it. For instance, there was a person that suddenly had a great deal of difficulty walking, just couldn't seem to get up out of the chair, and having difficulty walking across the room. And it was reviewed and seen that there was a black witch that had sent synergy to the person that the person would not be able to walk. This was canceled out, and the person now could walk again. So it is possible to put a spell over another and to even use dolls to pinpoint parts of the body, that one might, the Black Witch might be sending that energy to use it to alleviate one's condition, if possible also.
Thank you. Next question is from Gregory Schroeder, which we're carrying over from last week. Gregory, when he walks under streetlights, they tend to go out. And we've heard that from quite a few people that have expanded energy fields. And his question is, does that mean that I have healing powers? And if I was holding plants in my hand, would they might grow better if by injecting energy into them before planting them? Are these things he could do because of this unusual view that he registers by putting lights out when he walks under them?
Thank you. There is a tendency when one has a certain energy field and has the ability to pull in or transfer out energy, that when one is walking under the light bulbs or under some electrical appliance or circuit, they can pull in energy from these devices, and the energy then leaves the bulb and goes out. So if this is a broad range of consequences that one can feel, so that if one is living, say, in an area that has, say, atomic energy buildup, radiation buildup, then this circumstance can leach off energy from the body and can make the person feel weak, and eventually can the person could get sick or ill. So when the person walks under the street light and the energy moves from the electrical circuit through the parameters of their field, then it can put out the street light. Someone can, with this ability, also has the ability to move energy in from their field into the area, say, of a person that needs to be healed or to help plants to germinate more quickly. There are experiments done in China where individuals hold seeds in their hands and transfer energy to them, and then they can begin to sprout in a very short time. So this is a sign that a person has an ability to transfer energy in and out of areas, and they can use it to impart energy to someone who is lacking it and needs that energy within their body to heal.
Thank you. Next question is from, I don't have their name, but it's a general question. Why are so many children being born autistic now?
There are a number of situations within the environment of individuals. One of them is the genetically modified food is being found in the blood of the majority of pregnant women. It is getting more and more prevalent and is moving the, as the baby is developing, is moving and blocking some of the connector sites within the baby. There is also within the nutrition of many of these autistic children, there is a lacking of certain nutrition elements that the child needs to develop properly. We would say that there are multiple factors, and one of the first ones being in the area of nutrition, another being in the area of the environment of the child after he is born, with the stimuli being very great that does not allow individual development of the child's own ability to create, but the child is more bombarded by TV and stimuli that move the balance of his life into the outside rather than in his own individual ability to give and take and create and relate.
Thank you. You know, it's 7:59 and we're on BBS, and I think we're going to say, I don't know if Don can keep us on because I talked quite a bit, and I'd like to ask maybe two more questions. So if you're on BBS and we get cut off, you can go to the archives and listen to this when this comes up, spiritchannel.net, and pick it up. And if we can stay on BBS, fine. But Don, if you're listening, you can cut us off now, and we'll let the tape recorder run on our own recording, and ask a couple more questions here. Next question is, this is from Carolyn Williamson, and she is plagued with very strong panic attacks. I can't sleep. Let me just say one thing. If you're on BBS, you can also tune into the conference call right now if we get cut off and just listen in to the rest of it. The conference number is in the email we sent you earlier, okay? So question from Carolyn Williamson. I have spent days suffering from very strong panic attacks. I can't sleep. I can't sit down. All I can do is walk. It's the most awful feeling I've ever had, and it won't stop. Can you give me any insight into this and any help? I don't have Carolyn's city. You know what? I don't have her city. You know, when people ask a personal question like that, we should have her send it in again with her city. I think, okay, we'll do that. We'll skip that. And now here's another one. It's Julie Martinez in Taft, New Mexico. And it's kind of in the same vernacular. What really happens or is happening when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't move and you're paralyzed? Why? And I'm sure she's asking, why is that happening to her? That's Julie in Taft, New Mexico.
Thank you. When one is sleeping and one is in that state, they may have moved out of their body slightly and not be connected up entirely yet with their body. In other words, when they are sleeping, there is a tendency to move into another realm, to go exterior in the dream state, and to be connected in their slumber with another realm, and then to wake and move into connection, full connection with their body may take a few minutes, or it may take as long as it takes to get reconnected with their body. Sometimes you do not remember this other state because it is in a different realm, in different perspectives, in different perceptics. So when you come to, there is a bit of a discoordination between where you have been and your subsequent and connection and connecting up with all the perceptives of your body and being able to put everything in sync again to get moving. We hope that helps.
Thank you. And question from, let me see here, from Vito. And we don't know the city, but it's a general question. I have always read that comedians have a dark side, that there's a hidden depression or sorrow behind every laugh. Mark Twain said there is no laughter in heaven. The question is there laughter in the higher realms? Or is laughter just a coping mechanism or survival trait for us three-dimensional monkeys? Thank you.
No, it makes us sad to hear you call you monkeys. We have laughter in the higher realms, as sometimes we even express the laughter that we have. Laughter is a way of releasing one's pent-up energy. And so one tends to laugh at situations which can be difficult or ridiculous even. So when one sees something that is dark and yet funny, we think of different examples. For instance, the comedians that would fall down and fall over and fall off ladders and bump into each other. And then it is very funny because it releases pent up agitation, and one can look at that situation occurring to the comedian and see the overtones in one's own life where it has been so difficult and even disastrous, and the paint fell all over and the new floor, or and then one can get a new perspective on this, that when one laughs, it takes away the pain and the difficult separation between what one wished to have a perfect floor and to see it all covered with paint. And it takes away the difficulty to some degree. And one can look at it in perspective and can let go of one's agitation.
So when you laugh in other realms, how does that look energetically?
Energetically, it looks like when we laugh, it is because of a situation that to us seems we would use the word funny, but we go beyond that. It is a situation that seems ridiculous, perhaps, and we chuckle about it, and we have a similar reaction to what someone in your density would have. For instance, we give you an example. There were a group of beings that said that we were criminal for having created such a difficult realm. And we did not see ourselves, we do not see ourselves as criminal, and we looked at this as being an anomaly. We're not all this constituents of it, not all the situations within it were understood. And so it wasn't true that we were criminal, but it seemed funny to us. That is an example.
I see. And when one of you see something as funny, how does that feeling transfer to the others, since you're a group energy? And does it work the same for the Ra group as well as the Elohim group?
We give you our experience from the Elohim group. When we, or say three of us, think something may be funny, and we let we chuckle. We do not transfer to everybody. It is only to the people, the energy beings that are involved in the focusing upon that particular topic. It does not bleed out to everyone. It is a matter of focusing, and only those that are focused upon that particular item have any response. The others could, if they wish to focus in, could view it, but this does not transfer to each and every one of us. We have our own energy body, which is pretty consistent within itself. So we are not one glom.
Thank you. And I don't know if it's important to ask about the Ra group, but is it a similar kind of experience for the Ra group?
We, at this time, do not wish to pull the Ra group in to review that.
All right. Well, you know what? We're coming to the place of closing this session. Thank you so much for sharing the dynamic of the small dynamic of how things work inside your group. And that was really amazing to feel the way you interact in that level. And all of you on the line and with our sources on the line, since we're going over, we might as well, we should take a moment of silent intention. You know that if you're feeling the energy, if you're feeling it, it usually comes in through the top of your head, and you can assume you're being paid attention to. And this is a good time to put your issues, your circumstances, your challenges into that energy field and ask for support. The way they describe it, it's like spreading WD-40 in your field. And suddenly, you can attract a synchronicity, a chance encounter, because your energy field has expanded into the place where that's possible. And also for your personal healing, you can ask for that. I'm going to take 2 moments of silence, one for our personal issues and anything to do with healing or attracting something towards you. Be asked that each person might have this delivered for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. So we'll take a moment of silence and let your thoughts go upward. And let's take another moment of silence and let's send our positive intentions to those earthquake faults on the New Madrid for releasing of any potentials that they not happen in such a way to create devastation, that they're small the New Madrid fault, all the faults in California, and the Ring of Fire. And all those plots of what we call the negative elite that we put our energy in, that we might play a role in sidestepping us and all those other people on the planet that are having positive intentions to shift any negative outcomes caused by negative agendas on this planet for the highest good. Take another moment of silence. And on that note, we're going to end this call. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all our volunteers. Thank you, Terry. And everyone says our Sunday call is our most powerful, intense call where you feel the energies. And if you've never participated, we hope you'll show up. And we hope you'll check out the spiritchannel.net. It's the spiritchannel, all one word, .net. And take a look at our archives. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
Muted.